Turn your Bibles to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. The title is, What Will Your Last Words Be? John 19, let's begin reading in verse 16 of this chapter. John 19, 16. Then delivered he him therefore unto him to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, one on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I've written, I've written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier, a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from top throughout. They said, therefore, among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was his preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, because that Sabbath day was an high day. Let me just interject here. Notice that this is not speaking about the weekly Sabbath, Saturday. It's one of the special feasts that the people of Israel celebrated. So the idea that Jesus Christ was crucified is based upon the idea thinking that the Sabbath is Saturday. It's not. And I'll just throw that out for now, but we'll maybe address that some other time, but go on from there. It says, He besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the Jew soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that he might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they have pierced. You know, the last words of people can be a very interesting study. Oftentimes it gives some insight into that individual. Sometimes those words are thought out beforehand. There's some thought of, you know, what I want on my tomb, or what I want is an epitaph. For example, one tomb read, I told them I was sick. Pretty descriptive, right? There was a pastor who had John 16:4 placed on his tomb. Remember the words that I told you. Another one, this was in London, I believe. It said, I have sinned. I have trusted. I have repented. I have loved. I rest. And through the grace of Christ, however unworthy, I shall rise and I shall reign. Amen. Then there are some that are more spontaneous. Things that people have uttered at the point of death. The most common words said by a redneck before he dies is, "Hey, oh, watch this." Leonardo da Vinci said this, "I've offended God and mankind because my work did not reach the quality that it should have." Charles I of England said, "I go from a corruptible crown to an incorruptible, where no disturbance can be." And then in Acts chapter 7, we read the last words of Stephen, the apostle, as he's being stoned to death for his testimony, for his preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Lay not this sin to their charge." As Jesus Christ hung on the cross for that 6 hours, from 9 to 3, there were actually 7 different statements that he made, or that are recorded that he made from the cross. And I want to take a moment to look at 3 of them this morning. These 3 statements having some great significance, because I don't think anything that Jesus Christ did was by accident. His life was lived on purpose. Everything about it, so much of it was foretold in the Old Testament, from the place of his birth, and so many things surrounding that, and different events throughout his life. In fact, in this passage we've read several times, it talked about that the scripture might be fulfilled. His life was lived deliberately with a purpose and on purpose. The things that he did fulfilled the Old Testament prophecy, as well as were being obedient to the will of the Father. So consider these this morning, 3 of these 7 witnesses. The first is found back in verse 26 of this chapter, verses 26 to 27. "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by." Now it mentions actually 3 women that are here with him: his mother Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. Interesting that all 3 of the women assembled there are named Mary. But all 3 of these women are there. And then there is the disciple whom Jesus Christ loved, the author of this gospel, John. These are the only 4 that have remained. And they're standing there as he's dying on the cross. And he goes on, he says this, verse 26, "whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then he saith to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home." What a great affection Jesus Christ showed to his earthly mother. The woman who had gone through him developing in her womb, had gone through the pain of childbirth to bring him into this world, and then had nursed him and cared for him and cherished him throughout his early years, attending to him. He loved her. He cared for her. And right now, she has a need. And as strange as it may sound, it seems that it's one he can't meet. God in the flesh. Yet there were some limitations. And the need is the need of his mother at this hour, of this one who has such affection, that natural bond that's so worthy of recognition and honor. The 5th commandment tells us to honor your father and mother, the 1st commandment with promise. And Jesus Christ is fulfilling those scriptures in paying this honor and tribute to her. Now, she's not to be elevated like the Catholics do. She's not to be prayed to on our behalf. But she was still the vessel that God used to come into this world. She was chosen by God for a specific purpose. And she had fulfilled her responsibility admirably. And he's recognizing that in this difficult moment now. Keep your finger here in John 19 and go over to Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, we read about after the birth of Jesus Christ, the Jews always circumcised their male children on the eighth day. So she has brought Jesus Christ into the temple, 8 days old. And she meets two people as she comes into the temple. There's Anna, and then there's Simeon. And Simeon's words that I want to focus on here in Luke chapter 2 and verse 34. He has taken the child from her arms. He's holding the child up. Verse 34, and Simeon blessed him and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel and for a sign which shall be spoken against. God has given to this man some special insight as to who Jesus Christ is and what's in store for him and throughout for the whole world, for that matter, through him. Verse 35, notice this, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Mary is crushed as she stands there looking at that cross. The body of the one that she had borne, that she had cared for and nurtured. The suffering that he is enduring. And as a parent, as especially as a mother, I think you can especially relate to the affliction that it brings to your own soul. A sword shall pierce through thy soul. Mary's suffering. And as Jesus Christ is hanging on the cross, enduring his own suffering, he's still cognizant of what his mother must be enduring. And so he says to John, behold thy mother. I can't take care of her now. It's your responsibility. You take her home. You comfort her in the grief that she's experiencing. There's also something else I think that's going on here. You see, this earthly body that God has taken upon himself was for a purpose, but now that purpose is fulfilled. And he's putting off the earthly body. He's done with it. He doesn't need it any longer. And in a sense, it's breaking this bond that he had with the earth. Because that part of his life has been fulfilled. And so he's no longer has a mother. She served her purpose for this child that was to come into the world to suffer and to die and to pay the penalty for our sins. But that's about to be completed. And that natural bond is no longer there. And he transfers it to the Apostle John. He's giving it up. His humanity is being cast off. The Creator became a part of his creation in this form for a time, but it was temporary. This relationship was not eternal, and he's putting it away. The second phrase is this in verse 28, back in John chapter 19. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. For thirst, they give him vinegar. But you think about the cry of physical agony that he's experiencing. For 6 hours, he has been hanging in the hot sun by his hands and his feet. As the blood has been seeping from his body. Because before he was nailed to the cross, he was beaten to a bloody pulp with a cat of nine tails. The flesh being ripped from his body, exposing his internal organs. The pain and the agony and the suffering. And among all of that is the thirst that he's experiencing at this point as well. Well, what a thought when you think about this. This pain that he's suffering at the hands of his tormentors, that he who created the water is being denied it. He who had spoken and brought water out of the rock for the people of Israel and the children of Israel in the wilderness. He who had divided the waters so they could pass through the Red Sea and later the Jordan River. He who at the time of the flood had placed a bound that the waters could never pass over again. He who controlled it and made it and all that is now deprived of it. I thirst. He's unable to care for his mother. He's unable to satisfy this most basic of human needs at this point. Again, keep your finger at John 19 and two passages in Psalms I want you to look at. Psalm 22 first. And then we'll go to Psalm 69, and you may want to keep a finger in Psalm 69 because we'll be coming back to that as well. But here in Psalm chapter 22, in fact, portions of both of these psalms were quoted in the passage that we read in John chapter 19. Psalm 22 and verse 12. And this is a prophecy of what Jesus is now experiencing in John 19, written by David 1,000 years before Jesus Christ lived. David writes these words. Many bulls, verse 12, have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. Speaking about the soldiers and the crowd that is gathered around the cross and is shouting out and mocking him and taunting him as he's suffering there in agony. In verse 14, I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. You see, as one's hanging on the cross like that, after a while, the muscles just lose their ability to keep the bones in place. And the entire body, just all those bones come out of their sides. That's what he's describing here. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaw. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and they stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. That describes the agony that is enduring, but a part of that was my tongue, verse 50, my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Look now at Psalm 69. Psalm chapter 69, verse 3. Again, we will be coming back to the psalm in a moment. He says, I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. Another psalm referring to the crucifixion. But that thirst that he endured, he who had angels ministering to him at many times, After he came out of the wilderness, after having fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and then faced the devil straight on for that temptation. It says, when that was done, angels came and ministered unto him. But there's no angels now. He's there, he's suffering, he's alone. And he's thirsty. So much that he cries that out. And he could have called for the angels to deliver him from this whole thing. And if nothing else, to give him a touch of water. But he did not. Why? Because what he's enduring now, he volunteered for. He chose to endure what he endured on the cross. He was obedient unto death, the Bible tells us. He's here by choice. At any moment, he could have delivered himself. Prior to this, as they were in the garden, when the soldiers came after Judas Iscariot has betrayed him, and Peter whipped out his sword and was ready to take them all on and cut off one of the servants of the high priest's ear, the Lord says, put your sword up, Peter. It's not time to fight. Because I'm going through with this. You can't stand in the way of this, Peter. And then he said, don't you know that I could call 12 legions of angels? He could have stopped it at any moment. But the thirst and all else that he's enduring at this moment, he is enduring by choice. You know what that choice is? Love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He loved you and me. That took him to the cross because he knew there was nothing else that could prevent us from spending an eternity in hell, but his having to endure what he's doing, enduring. Because he loved us. There's a hymn, it's not in our hymn books, but it's How Can It Be? How can it be that God should love a soul like me? How can it be? And the older I get, the more I realize how profound that song is. How could God love somebody like me? I've let God down so many times. I have failed, I've sinned. And yet he still loves me. And he still allows me the privilege of being able to stand before you and speak on his behalf. That's amazing. But he loves us more than we can even begin to comprehend. And he thirsted because that was a part of what he had to endure to be able to provide for us the gift of eternal life. The third is this. Back at John chapter 19, verse 30. He says, they answered and said to him, better get in the right chapter, sorry about that. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Wow, it's finished. It's done. I think that's how Jesse feels this morning. As he finally finished, I think he did, finished his senior project. It's done. It's going to the printer. But that's only an inkling of what's expressed when Jesus Christ uttered those words on the cross. It's finished. The plan of redemption is complete. Satan's attempt to interfere, disrupt it, and destroy it have all failed. He accomplished what he came to do. His mother has been taken care of. The thirst is going to be no more. The agony and the suffering is going to be over. But even beyond all that, he's going to be able to welcome us home one day. Because it's finished. The scriptures are fulfilled. God's will has been obeyed. The law has been kept. And all that he had been given to done is done. It started out in the very first part of his ministry. The first thing that he did was went to the Jordan River where John the Baptist was baptizing. And when he came and presented himself to his cousin John the Baptist, John says, whoa, wait a minute. You need to do this for me. He says, nope. It's necessary that this be done to fulfill all righteousness. And the next 3.5 years, he continued to fulfill all righteousness. But now it's done. Now the work is complete. His earthly ministry is finished. This phase of redemption's plan is complete. God's justice is satisfied. And one of the tracts that we've got back there, I really like. It says, paid in full.